Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone here today. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're certainly glad to have you. I realize a lot of folks is still vacating. I think one bunch got back and the other bunch left. So it's good to see all of you that are here today. We are glad to have someone with us today for the very first time. Logan Price is here with us, the son of Rebecca and Ron, and the big brother Levi is here with us. So we're going to ask them if they would please stand. Where you guys at? There you are. Okay. How about coming on up here to the front? Y'all got here before the Bible did. We are going to get you one, but all right. Turn around here and let everybody. Yeah, all right. Isn't that wonderful? Let's see. Let me ask you a question. Now, I want you to tell everybody this, okay? Is little brother a keeper? Do you think you're going to keep him?
He's a keeper.
He's a keeper. I tell you what, I can always count on this boy right here. Okay, well, we're so glad, and we're going to pray for you. And do y'all have anything you want to share or say?
No, just thank you for all the calls and the prayers, and keep praying for us.
Okay, amen. Thank you. Y'all may be seated. Let's remember them in our prayers. Thank you, ladies, for playing for us this morning, and I want to thank our choir for songs they sung this morning. What a wonderful job they did, and just you as a congregational songs. We appreciate everything that's been done to bring us to this point, prayers that's been prayed, and your presence. We're so thankful to see you here this morning. If you have your Bibles and would like to read along, you can turn to the book of James. James chapter number 5, it's if you have a would like to read along, you can find a Bible right there in the pew rack. It's in the book of James, towards the end of the New Testament, right after Hebrews. You find the book of James, 5th chapter of the book of James. I want to just go ahead and tell you, someone had asked that we would take a moment of time today after the service and have a time of prayer, and we're going to. We've got a lot going on in our church that really needs prayer. First of all, it's just 4 weeks away till our revival, and we definitely need to be praying about that. We need to be praying that people would be saved, that lost people would be drawn to a relationship with Christ, and so we want to be very much in prayer for that. We want to always, always remember lost people, folks. That's our obligation, that's our responsibility as Christian people. And then we have a lot of other things that's going on within our church. Sage, Phil and Marla's grandson, is going to be going to Colorado. They're going to be looking at some options that will hopefully be helpful and beneficial to him. And meeting with a neurologist out there. So let's be very much in prayer for this family. I believe it's Wednesday. Is it this Wednesday that they'll be going? So certainly we want to be prayerful for them and remember them. And then all of you are aware of the situation with my own family, my grandson, and going to Mexico for the stem cell procedure. And we want to be in prayer for that. And then there's other things also. We don't ever want to leave anybody out of prayer. There's folks that's got things that's just going on in their life, and certainly they need our prayer. Some things are, we have a tendency to measure out things sometimes. That's just human nature. But when you're the one that's dealing with it or whatever, it's pretty serious. So we want to always remember everyone, and we want to always be mindful of whatever anybody is going through with in life. And today's passage of Scripture very plainly tells us, it tells us how to pray for healing. James speaks about it and says something to all of us. I have mentioned this particular passage before in talking about healing and things of that nature. I believe in healing. I believe God still has the power to heal today. I am absolutely not one of those that believe that healing ended with at the end of the apostolic age. I don't believe that healing stopped then. I cannot limit what God chooses to do. We sometimes question why someone perhaps is healed and why someone else is not. That's not my call. And we're going to answer that also in something that even I have said before, but it's something that I just want to remind you of. So in this particular passage, we're going to see just how James, who is one of the that was a half brother of Jesus, and this is probably one of the earliest scriptures that's actually written. James' writing is probably one of the very first that has been written. So we want to look and see what he said and what he tells us in this particular passage. So James chapter number 5, we're going to look at verses 13 through 16 and see what God's Word speaks to all of us today in this passage. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Wilson, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, we thank you, Lord, for your kindness, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, with great gratitude, God, you brought us all back together today, and we praise you for that. Lord, we know that you're going to bless Ronnie in this service. Remember what you have placed on his heart. We thank you once again for all that has been done.
Amen. Thank you, Wilson. Chapter 5, verse number 13. Listen to what he says, or actually, listen to what he asks. He asks three questions when he begins in this. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing the Psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sin, they shall be forgiven to him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James asked those people, and this was probably very much a very Jewish audience that he would be writing to. In fact, he references things throughout his whole writing that Jewish people would really identified with very well in that particular time and in that day. And even if you look on down past where I was reading to you, he mentions Elijah. And so those Jewish people would have had a real good understanding of what this man was talking about and what he was saying. But God gives us guidance today. God gives us guidance in His Word about how you and I are called together and how we're, as Christian people, we are called to pray for one another. We're called to pray for people that's in distress. We're called to pray for people that needs healing in their life. And then the other thing, though, that about it is one of the things that we fail or don't make mention of a whole lot here is he said the word is, the King James says merry, but it would be saying this: is anybody happy? And if you are, he said, then sing the songs. So as Christian people, that's why I say a lot of times, and you hear me say this, and I reiterate it over and over to you, as Christian people, and when life is going good, we should be happy. We should be happy people, and we should sing the songs of praise and show forth our praise to God. But also when things come along in life that we need prayer and we have struggles and we have things going on in our life. And folks, I'm going to always tell you this. If you have made it up into the point that you're at in life and you have not had any problems, any struggles, any trials, any heartaches, anything that has just absolutely went wrong, not to sound negative, but to just be honest, just wait. We live in a fallen world, and everybody faces struggles. Everybody faces heartaches. Everybody faces things that they wish they did not have to face, but we do. So in God's infinite wisdom, He gives directions through this man James in order to have the church in the early church to understand the importance and the need for praying for people. Well, the first thing that you'll notice when he begins talking about this and begins telling a few things, one of the first things that he does, he says, call together the elders. Now, that, notice again that in there, in that particular passage, he says elders. It's plural. It means more than one. He said, call these elders together. Call the people of the church. Now, would that be saying to you and I today that we would exclude? And by the way, elders didn't necessarily mean old people, okay? Sometimes people read that in the Bible and they think that, well, he's just talking about get a bunch of old people. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about people that are established in their faith, understand what they believe and know what they believe. And this was the very beginning of the early church. So he wanted the church to understand and know that when you're going to call people together to pray for you and to pray over you, that it needs to be people that has a relationship with the Lord and knows who he is and knows what he's about and knows his capabilities and what God can do. So he said, call those elders together. Well, why would God say elders? Why couldn't you just get one? Would it be okay to have just one person to pray over you? Well, yes, it would. But God, again, in his infinite wisdom, I believe that he understood and he looks far beyond what was just going on in the first century A.D. He looks all the way into the future, even to where you and I are today. Now, what has happened in our world today, especially in the 20th century? What happened? Well, you had a lot of, and it was primarily television preachers that could heal any and everything and everybody, and especially if you sent your contribution right on in, they could sure enough take care of you. Well, why would the Lord have said to call elders together? Well, I think it was because of this. Because when you have more than one, the honor is never going to fall on one man. You understand that? Never falls on one man. And God in his wisdom and knowledge and understanding knew, I am well satisfied, that problems like this would present itself. That there would be those charlatan preachers that would try their very best to get people to believe anything. As long as you keep sending your money. Now, folks, that's a real reality, and you have seen it and you have witnessed it yourself. So God, in his wisdom and understanding of things, God wants no one man to get the glory out of the glory that is due to God. Because if any healing is ever done, it'll be because God chose to heal. It will not be because of a power of a man or anything. So he wants the focus to always be on Jesus. Always. Listen, people. Anything that's ever done, anything, the focus is to always be on Jesus. It's not to be focused on anybody else or any certain group, but the focus is always placed upon Jesus. That's who we focus in on, and that's who we zero in on. And that's why I believe that he said, you call the elders together, plural. You call these people together because God doesn't want no one man to ever get the glory. You call these folks together and they come together, and they're, the Bible very plainly tells us when they come together that they're to pray over him. And then he goes on and he says something that's sometimes troubling to a lot of us Baptist folks. How are you going to deal with that oil now? It's in there. What are you going to do with it? You going to say it's not there? You going to pitch it out the window? What are you going to do with it? James says it very clearly, but it bothers us sometimes, and we get a little bit afraid of it. Well, I want to tell you something. I want you to understand. Now, stay with me before you think, uh-oh, our preacher's got off out in left field somewhere. Hang with me, okay? Stay with me just a minute. I beg you to stay with me and you're going to understand. There was probably a couple of reasons. Two reasons. I'd give two reasons. why he said to anoint them with oil. That's in there. Oil, I'm going to put it in a way that you and I can understand it, okay? Oil of that day was the Neosporin of our day. Now, it really was. I mean, how many of you, if your kid gets cut, I guarantee you mamas know where the Neosporin is, don't you? You know what drawer it's in, where it's at in the cabinet, and if something goes wrong, you're going to rub them on, you're going to rub that Neosporin on. Well, even if, and you go back to Old Testament times, go all the way back to Old Testament times, and what about when they anointed sheep with oil? I think I've mentioned this before in a sermon. Do you know why they done it? Medicinal purposes. It kept them from getting this parasite in their head, that hair, that wool, and all of that. So it was for medicinal purposes. It was the general medicine of that day that they used. And, you know, I mean, we've always had stuff like that. I mean, I can remember my dad. I'll tell you a little story, kind of humorous. My dad told me one time, he said, after I got a little bit older, he said, I realized I didn't need to ever tell mama that I had a runny nose, a cough, or anything was going on with me, because if I said that, here she come with a dose of castor oil. Didn't matter what was wrong with me, didn't matter what was going on, she's coming with a dose of castor oil. Now, some of you folks in here I know can relate to that, can't you? Some of you older ones can, I know. Yeah, you sure can. But that's exactly, it was the same thing. It was the general medicine of that day. Doctors wasn't readily available like they are. You didn't run to a minute clinic over in Jerusalem in the day of Jesus. Just wasn't there. So folks used the best they had at that time. So what I believe that it means for you and I is that medicine and prayer go hand in hand. Any of you, and I don't want nobody to raise your hand or do anything. Any of you in here? I don't, so I've got my hand up. But you take high blood pressure medication? Do you take anything to control diabetes or anything like that? You take anything like that? Well, you gonna just quit? I doubt it. I doubt it. I hope you don't. You know, don't. But the thing is, what I'm saying is that if you've got a situation and you've got something going on in your life, and through the process of medical science and what has become available for you today, by all means use it and immerse it with prayer in your life also. I believe that's what it's teaching you and I. I believe that's what he's telling us. Now, as far as whether somebody actually physically goes through with putting oil on somebody, that don't bother me. I'll just go ahead and be honest with you. It don't bother me in the least. If folks does it, I'm okay with it. You know, I never have, okay? But I don't have a problem with it. It's what I'm just telling you. Because it's in the Bible. But I believe that's what it's teaching us. I believe that's what it's telling us. And then also, though, the anointing of oil is very symbolic. Spiritually, it's symbolic. It always is. It's going to, throughout Scripture, it's going to represent the Holy Spirit of God coming on somebody, okay? So you have that even back with David when he was anointed, and then you have it with the priests and different ones Jesus, and you know, you just hear a lot about the anointing and that oil that is going to always represent the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit of God is the cleansing power of God. It's what cleanses us, and it's the cleansing power of God. And then there's one other thing that just because of time, I'm just going to kind of paraphrase this, okay? If you were to go back, though, when Paul was shipwrecked in Acts chapter number 28, and I believe it's about the 8th verse, when he is shipwrecked on that island of Malta, and there was a man there, and his father, the Bible says that his father lay sick. And then it very plainly says that Paul come and laid hands on him. Well, now, nobody should ever have a problem about laying on of hands because, well, number one, your pastors had hands laid on him, and every one of your deacons here at this church has hands laid on him. It's that human touch. And a lot of times Christ, it talks about that he touched people and he touched the children. Does my touch have any power in it whatsoever within itself? No. But have you ever noticed a lot of times when somebody is talking to you very serious or you're talking to someone very serious, many times we may reach out and just, you ever just put a hand on somebody when they're telling you something very serious, something that's really going on in their life? You may hold their hand in a shaking hand position, or, you know, somebody will put their hand on their shoulder. I know, you got to know what I'm talking about. You've either done it or had it done to you one, I guarantee it, when something's going on. Well, that's just that human touch of compassion and love that you have towards somebody. And Jesus demonstrated that when he touched people. Yes, I know that the Bible talks about when the woman touched him and virtue goes out and all of that. We understand that. But sometimes it was just that touch, just that human touch of compassion and love. And sometimes folks just needs to feel that. And the other thing is, have you ever noticed many times, not every single time, but a lot of times when somebody perhaps comes to an altar for prayer, if they come for whatever the reason may be, if they come because they need the Lord in their life, many times somebody, whether it be the pastor or somebody else, what do you automatically do? Put your hand on their back or their head or somewhere and kneel down there beside them and pray with them and pray for them, don't you? So we understand the power of just human touch and what it represents. There's no supernatural power in it or anything like that. But it's just that human touch of compassion and love. So God gives us this guidance here and tells us that we're to pray for those that need our prayers, and that the prayer of faith shall save the sick and raise him up. And if he has committed sin, look, he says, prayer is for the sinner. Prayer is for those that are without God. And like I said, that should always be the focus, folks, of our prayer life, is people that needs a relationship with Christ so desperately. And then finally, I'm going to close with this. This is some of the things that I did tell you before, and I've got these written down just so I wouldn't forget them or wouldn't say them wrong, because I'm quoting actually someone else. And this is something that a guy by the name of Andrew Wilson, he's a British minister, and he wrote this article in Christianity Today back several years ago. And I actually read the article, and it's just something that, it's just one of them things when you read it, you never forget it. And he said this: there's four ways that God always heals. And I've said these before, but I'm going to keep saying them as long as I'm here, so you'll never forget them. First of all, he said the body has the ability to heal itself. And it does. Cut yourself and give it time and everything, that cut will heal back. Break a bone, that bone will fuse back together, and it'll heal itself. So we understand that God has created us with the ability, our body has the ability to heal itself. And then the other thing he said is the supernatural healing power of God. And I hope and pray that there's nobody here that doubts the supernatural healing process and power of God. I hope you believe in that. I hope you believe that's real. If you're skeptical of it, I hope that you'd go back and look in Scripture and even look at things today and listen to stories of people that God has supernaturally worked in their life and brought healing in their life. And then he said the other thing was, he said there's medical enhanced healing. And that's where you go to doctors, and because of the technology that we have today and the advancements that the medical field has made today, and that God has allowed men that are very brilliant, men and women who are very brilliant and have been able to come up with things that will help you and I and help the body to heal itself. That's the the medical enhanced healing. But then he concluded with this. And by the way, this minister, he has two children that are both autistic children. And he says in the article, while you know he's witnessed and heard stories of other people's healings and things of that nature, but that he has never. His own two children. He's never saw it in them, but he said he's not given up on praying for them. And this is the thing that I love. This was his closing thing, and I've told you this before. He said, "There's twinkling of an eye healing. Twinkling of an eye." He said, "At the return of Christ, and when the dead are raised up," he said, "it'll be a brand new body that will never die again, that will never face any problems, that will never have any of the ailments and the diseases and all the things that rid our bodies today." He said, "they'll never have it, never again." So his conclusion was this: God's healing for a Christian is never no. It is yes or not yet. Now, folks, that's something that'll give you hope. See, God ain't going to leave one of His children in that shape. Do you understand that? Do you really understand it? In the resurrection, when that body comes forth and it's reunited with that soul, and that's going to happen, folks, there will be absolutely no problems with anybody. Standing that little Nicky will have a perfect body. Guarantee it. And all those others, if God heals today, next week, next month, that's great. Or if He just chooses to wait till the resurrection, that'll be okay too. That'll be all right. What about you? This morning, if you're here and you've never been saved, the greatest healing you need is a relationship with Christ. He can cleanse you, purge you from all the wrong and all the unrighteousness and all the sin and guilt. And it is just like a healing to come to Christ because He fixes that relationship that has strayed so far from God. He reunites that through Christ Jesus. So we're going to stand together. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. I want to invite you to come today. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we want to give you this opportunity this morning. Church, if you're here and you'd like to unite with our church and come share your experience of grace, if you want to come as a candidate to be baptized, or you want to come under the watch care until a letter can be obtained, or you have a letter with you, we invite you while we sing this verse of song. Okay, we got Chase that's come. He's going to come as a candidate for baptism. What's your desire, Chase?
I'd like to join the church and be baptized. I was saved about 7 years ago, and I feel like the church has been good to me.
Amen.
Like to join the church.
Okay. Okay, you have a move and a second that he be received as candidate for baptism. All in favor of this move and second, let it be known by raising of your hand. Okay, all right, I want to do something. Gene, we're going to do things a little bit different this morning. First of all, I love this guy. I've actually got to be out in hayfields with him, and he's pretty stout. He's one of them, when you get it up to the top, that last rung, you know, that you're putting up there, I'm using my knees, everything I got, and he's throwing it clean over to the other side because Bill or Earl one missed it. But he's stout, but I got to tell you this one more real quick, okay? We was hauling hay, and there's a persimmon tree down there. Y'all know what a persimmon tree is? Well, I'm bad to pull something on somebody if I get an opportunity. And it was still green persimmons. And I pulled it on him, and after I did, though, I got to looking at him. And I thought, oh boy, you might have made a mistake. But he took it good. We had a good laugh. So I love this guy. I love somebody that can laugh and enjoy life. And I know normally we would come around and shake hands, and we're still going to do that. You'll have opportunity. I want Phil and Marla to come forward, and I want Wyatt and Megan and Adam and Cindy. I want y'all to just come forward right now. Just trust me, okay? Would y'all come on? Y'all come on. And then I want to do something else. I want everybody to eventually come, or all that will. But all that great host of young people, would y'all come? All of you. Just come on. Come on, come on up, come on, just keep coming up this way. Just keep coming, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. When I was a young preacher, J.C. Nix, I don't know how many of you in here ever knew J.C. He was a preacher in our association, pastored over at Beaver Run and some other churches. But I used to preach for him a lot, and when I was just a young guy. And I never will forget something, though, that J.C. Nick said to me. He said, you know, I'd just soon have a young person pray for me as I had anybody. He said, because they probably ain't got near as much sin in their life as a lot of older folks have sometimes. And I've never forgot that. So I'm so proud of all these young people. And y'all, I really want you to pray for. You're praying for your own. Did you know that? You're praying for one of your own. And I want you to pray for White and Sage and others too, okay? And now I want to ask everybody that'll come, just come on. We're all family. Just come on. It's all good. Just come. Now what we're going to do in just a moment, we're going to have prayer. And then after we get through with the prayer, just shake hands with one another, okay? Come by, catch this boy. If you miss him, that don't make him no less a member or a candidate for be baptized or anything like that. And I'm not slighting you. I hope you don't feel that way. It's just what it calls for today, okay? And we all love one another, right? And we all pray for one another like a church should. And you know what, folks? It doesn't matter who's down. It doesn't matter who's got something going on. We all need one another. And like I said, we've got revival coming up. We need to be praying people. We need to be people that loves one another. If you want to be a church that's on fire, be a church that prays for one another, be a church that loves one another and get the little old petty things out of the way that causes rifts or whatever you want to call it. Just let that silly stuff go, because in the end, they ain't none of that matters. None of that matters. What matters is that we love one another and that we serve the Lord to the best of our ability. Okay? Now, while we're all here, if you want to kneel, you can kneel. If you want to remain standing, you can remain standing. There's no way posture that you have to be in prayer. If you want to lift your hands up, Paul said that, you know, he would, that all men would lift their hands up to the Lord. So that don't matter. Whatever the posture is, it don't matter. It's what your heart, it's where your heart is in this. So I want us to all bow our heads in prayer, and I'm going to ask Adam if he would to lead us in prayer.
Dear Lord, what I ask you to forgive me above our sins. Lord, I ask that you just understand the hearts and the minds of everyone that's here this morning. Everybody's got something special that deals with their particular life or their particular situation that they want healed or made better. Lord, I pray that you would just listen and hear the prayers of each and every heart that's here this morning. And that if it be your will and in your time, that you would grant the prayers of each individual here that's calling out to you today, Lord.
Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Lord, I pray that you'd be with Sage as he goes this week. Touch him and heal him and be with his parents and give them strength. Lord, I pray that you be with all those others that are here today that are traveling for medicine or procedures or just going to see loved ones in other places. Lord, I pray that you keep them safe. I pray that you would just touch their lives and fulfill their needs. And Lord, I'm only selfish to pray for my little boy. Lord, I know that you can perform miracles. I've already seen it happen in this life. But I feel like you've given us this opportunity. That you've given us this opportunity to go down and allow you to work another miracle in his life through this procedure, Lord. And I pray that that's exactly what happens. I pray that you help us travel safely. I pray that you help us not be in any pain or as little pain as possible. I pray that you help keep him comfortable and keep him peaceful through this next week. You help us to get home safely. Lord, I pray that you just watch over each and every member here. And Lord, I want them all to know that I love them. And we thank them so much for their support. Lord, if there be anybody here today that doesn't know you and doesn't understand the reason that we're praying and the reason that we're all crying and sniffling, I pray that you would help them understand how merciful and loving you are. And just open their heart and teach them how to love you and let them accept you into their life so that they can understand the grace and the mercy that I'm feeling right now. Thank you for all of your grace and all of your mercy. Thank you for all that you've ever done for me and all that you will continue to do for me and my family. Thank you for all that you do for all the other families that are here. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
Amen.